Welcome along to Bunce's Boxing Podcast from William Hill. Another great weekend of boxing. Feels good to be doing these back-to-back weekly podcasts. Bunce, are you well? Are you fighting fit?
Well, I'm not quite sure if I'm fighting fit, but I'm perfectly well. I found out today from the doctor that apparently I've got to lose 6 stone. Okay. I've no idea what I look like, but I've got to lose 6 stone.
You'll just be a suit on Box Nation.
I'll just be a very nice suit. Anyway, we move on whilst I'm still breathing and living.
We've got some great fights this weekend to follow up from the Carl Frampton fight, which was great. Quick mention, Bunce. Great shout. I mean, you were so confident on it not being a repeat of the last fight. And it go into points. The 13-8 was great. I was off my sofa when he went to when he started throwing bombs in the final round. That 16-2, I thought he's going to land. I was up on my own in the front room, but it didn't quite get there, did he?
No, he didn't quite get there in the last round. It was a stupid thing to do to go out and try.
It was really, wasn't it? Yeah.
But hey, hey ho, that's the way he works. You know, I think that the people in the corner knew that. I think they'd kept him in check for 11 rounds, and I think they expected him to go out in the last round in glory. He couldn't have actually made it any more glorious, to be honest with you. It was a spectacular night, bitterly cold. I mean, I suppose we should have realised that we were sitting down to watch a fight in September, 100 metres away from where the Titanic entered the ocean. So I suppose we should have thought, well, hold on a minute, if the Titanic can get in the sea here, perhaps the sea is quite deep, perhaps it's quite open, perhaps it's quite exposed. Oh, Lee, it was freezing.
Was it?
It was absolutely bitter. The fighters felt it. Even going into the last round, there was a chill in the fighters. But the referees were coming out and covering themselves in hastily arranged blankets. But it was a special night, and great for Carl, great for Bam McGrigan, great for boxing, and great for obviously great for Belfast.
Yeah, and Kiko Martinez had a right old go as well, didn't he?
Yeah, to be fair to him.
We've got one of his big rivals, Scott Quigg, fighting this weekend. Anthony Crawler's on the bill, on the Sky bill as well, and Anthony Joshua, which gets me excited every time he's in a ring. Obviously, we're going to look at Floyd Mayweather Jr. as well. Should we start with Ant Crawler's fight?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He's fighting for the WBO Intercontinental Lightweight title this time round against Gamaliel Diaz, who's a Mexican who he's had some decent nights, Diaz, before, hasn't he? I mean, he won the WBC Super Featherweight title against Takashi Miura. That was only back in 2000, Takahiro Ao, and then he lost it to Takashi Miura in his first defence of it, Bunce. So he's obviously, you know, he knows what it's like to be in the big ring. That was in Tokyo when he won it, lost it again in Tokyo as well. How good is this Mexican?
I think he's perfectly good. It's one of those situations where perhaps this is not his ideal weight, perhaps this is not, you know, his best 6 months or his best 9 months, but then that's what matchmaking's all about. It's a risky fight, don't get me wrong, and it's a fight that if Crawler wins, and I think he will win, then Crawler gets a world title fight at some point. Will he have to go somewhere? Probably. Would I fancy him if he had to go to Terence Crawford's hometown of Omaha in Nebraska, where Crawford's getting 9,000 fans, the next time it'll be 12? Time after that, it'll be 15. No, I wouldn't fancy him going there. But hey, you know, the way the business works, things open up. Crawler, the bizarre apprenticeship, there was a point in 2011 when I, hand on heart, thought he was better than Ricky Burns. I thought he was the best lightweight in the land. Then he lost, you know, he ended up losing a couple. It was a bit of a bizarre, sort of lost his way a little bit. Mm-hmm. He gets back on track with Diaz. I'm not quite sure he can stop him, but I think he wins quite comfortably and puts himself in genuine deserving recognition for a world title fight.
Yeah, he's 1-8 to win the fight, 25-1 the draw, 5-1 for the Mexican, and there's no odds yet on William Hill on the method of victory, but it'll be short. If it's 1-8 for him to win, I think it'll be about 1-3 for him to win on points. Scott Quigg versus Stefan Jamoy. Obviously, Scott Quigg kind of following up from Carl Frampton, as I said. This is for the WBA World Super Bantamweight title at the Manchester Arena. Jamoy's a Belgian. He's won 26, stopped 16 of his victims, lost 5 and been stopped twice himself. He's lost 2 of the last 3 fights he's been involved in. Fought at European bantamweight title level and beat Ashley Sexton, actually, and Lee Haskins.
And was good at that weight and at that level.
As for this one, the bookies have got this one very short, of course. 1-16, Quigg, 8-1, Jamoy, and 25-1, the draw. Quigg will want to impress, won't he, Bunce? You often like it when two rivals fight quite close together.
Absolutely.
He'll want to impress and put a marker down.
Absolutely. I mean, we had it, I think, with Nathan Cleverly and Tony Bellew on the same show. Yes. And that's the way it should be. It's terrific. So as a week on, Quigg will be rightly feel like he's, you know, he's been ignored, which he has been. Will rightly feel like he's been overlooked by the genuine, proper British media and Irish media, which he has been. And he'll feel that he needs to get in there and do a job, which he does have to get in there and do a job. He can't win this on points. It would be a disaster.
Mm.
You know, he can't win this on points. He's got to win. He's got to get in there. And I think he will. I think he'll get to him by round 7 or 8. He may even try a bit earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's understandably frustrated. The people around him are understandably frustrated. Everybody in the Scott Quigg business took a kick in last Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday when it seemed that British and Irish sporting eyes were all on Carl Frampton, which they were. It was a major event. It's what we forget. It was an event.
Yeah.
And then he'll do a job. Don't worry about that. He'll do a job, and he has to do a job quick. But it moves no one any closer to a world title fight between them, or so-called, quote, unification, past unification. For the simple reason, Quigg will say, well, I fight in an 18,000-seat venue. Carl Frampton will say, well, I've had a purpose-built 16,000-seat venue for me. They'll both want a bit more of the money. They're both, not the lion's share, but they both want a percentage more. There's an argument. You can't... See, there's one thing about boxing. It's not like weightlifting or rowing or running or swimming or football where you have a goal, you have a score, you have a weight, you have something you've lifted, you have a time. You can't measure boxing. So I'll go and find you 50 people that will tell you that Carl Frampton's a better fighter, and then you'll go and find 50 people that will tell you that Scott Quigg's a better fighter. Okay? It's all about the negotiating. Will Barry McGuigan be prepared to move out of Belfast? Will he overlook offers from America to fight not on his terms in Manchester against Scott Quigg? Will he go back and work with Sky, who, you know, I feel disgracefully kicked him out? So there's a lot of things at stake here. So just Quigg winning inside a few rounds and a couple of dozen people online saying it will happen now, that's not the case. It's not that simple. I think Barry McGuigan, when he suggested that Scott Quigg only sells 800 tickets, I think he was wide of the mark. But let's put it this way. Scott Quigg doesn't sell 16,000 tickets.
No.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So do I think Carl Frampton deserves the lion's share of the money? Without a doubt, if the fight's in Belfast. Carl Frampton needs to do one simple thing, and Barry McGuigan needs to do the same, as does Joe Gallagher and as does Scott Quigg. They need to get a little envelope inside their head with a figure in it, and that's the figure they need to worry about. They need to worry about reaching that figure. It doesn't matter if that figure's 90% of the purse or 10% of the purse. What they need to do, those four people, is that they need to get paid what they feel they're worth. Too many fights have collapsed in Britain, domestic fights, because one man is demanding a bigger percentage. Nothing to do with money. This is why Junior Witter never fought Ricky Hatton. Because Junior Witter wanted parity.
Mm.
Even if 10% was more than he'd ever made, he still wanted parity. It doesn't work. Ridiculous. No. So if Carl Frampton, for want of a better expression, wants £1 million, that's what's in his head. He shouldn't be bothered if Scott Quigg gets £10 million, as long as he's getting £1 million.
Yeah, fair enough.
Simple as that. So Scott Quigg will do a job. He'll do a terrific job. And if Carl Frampton's ringside and if Barry McGuigan's ringside, then forget everything I've said. The fight's already made. If they're not ringside, then take on board everything I said and the fight's 1 million miles from being made.
Yeah. You're probably looking at around 2-1 for Quigg to finish it in 6, 7 and 8. The individual rounds more like 7-1, 8-1 and 9-1. So
if you get in 7s, 8s and 9s around there, that's not bad.
Yeah.
5 through about 8, that's all right.
Yeah.
I'd fancy Quigg 5 through 8, I really would. That's nice.
Yeah. Have you got a definite idea in your mind of who would win against between Frampton and Quigg?
Right now, I've always fancied Frampton.
Yeah.
I think it's a really hard fight. I've never fancied Frampton massive, but I've always fancied Frampton just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a world where if you suggest that a boxer will lose. He never speaks to you again. His management never speaks to you again. His promoter never speaks to you again. His TV company never speaks to you again. So it's hard to get a prediction. Yeah. I've fancied Frampton to beat Quigg for about 4 years, 3 or 4 years, and I'm not changing my opinion now.
Anthony Joshua is back in the ring this weekend fighting Konstantin Arić, who's been around the block, and people will have seen him fight over here in the UK, fought in that heavyweight prize fighter tournament. He's been a distance with Odlania Solis and Christian Hammer, who aren't top level, but you know, they're decent operators. KO'd in the first round by Manuel Char, who himself has been in with Klitschko and Povetkin, Vitaly Klitschko, I think it was, and Povetkin. So it's, you know, there's a bit of, you can see where he is in the ladder of heavyweights. Anthony Joshua 7-0, of course. Never been through the second round. Konstantin Arić, 21 wins, 9 defeats. 17 of his wins have come by stoppage. Anthony Joshua was 100-1 on.
Wow.
16-1 for Arić, and 33 is the draw. And we have got some grouped round betting prices available as well. It's funny this, isn't it, Buncey? I mean, I've heard you talking about Anthony Joshua on Five Live a couple of weeks back, and it's brilliant to be a fan watching his progression, first of all. And what you said is obviously exactly right, that the one thing he needs right now is rounds, but not rounds that are too dangerous, in a sense, you know what I mean? Does he get the rounds here?
Listen, hopefully he'll get the rounds here. This guy's meant to be, you know, this guy should give him the rounds. Let's put it this way. You know, this guy, as an opponent for whatever it is, his fifth fight is brilliant. I did a comparison, and this guy's brilliant at this stage in Anthony Joshua's career compared to almost everybody else, apart from Povetkin, who had a really hard fight for the start of his career. He was on a supersonic path. This guy should give him some rounds. However, Big Josh clips him, it all gets over. What we need to see with Josh, we need to see what happens to his body. We know his mind's great. We know his heart's great. We know he's incredibly brave. He showed that in the Olympic final, in the World Amateur Championships final in 2011. But what we need to find out is how his body reacts. We need to find out how all those muscles, how that heavy load reacts when it's deprived, when it's stretched, when it's pushed after 4 rounds, 5 rounds, 6 rounds. And when I mean push, I don't mean hurt, hit on the chin. I just mean being forced to constantly work. So I think it's a terrific match. I mean, this is one of the best matches for a prospect. It'll be one of my top 10 matches for a prospect ever. I think it's a great match. I really do. And I just hope he gets five rounds.
Mm.
I hope he gets 6 rounds, a good 6 rounds.
Yeah.
That's what we need to know. We know that he's got a good chin. We know he's got heart. We know he's got a good brain. We know he's dedicated. We know he can talk. We know he looks good. We know he can bang. We know all of that. What we don't know is what happens after 9 minutes of boxing. 10 minutes of boxing, 12 minutes of boxing, 18 minutes of boxing, and that's what we need to find out. And you cannot replicate that in the gym, otherwise Derek Sweet D. Williams of Peckham would be the second greatest heavyweight in history.
So do you think it will? I mean, do you think it will go that far then?
If it goes past one or two rounds, it'll go six, yeah. I think that the problem is with Big Josh is he's so fit, he's so focused, he's so good, he's jumping on these guys too early.
Yeah. I mean, it must be quite difficult, Buncey, being someone with his power, not to, you know, to stay back in a way. You know, it must be very hard. I mean, you look at the old videos of Tyson, obviously, he just blasted people out time after time after time, didn't he? And when the time came that he had to go the distance, he could do it. So I suppose it's having that confidence in your own ability, isn't it?
Yeah, but Tyson had about 10, 12 fights by this stage.
Right.
Tyson's
preparation.
He
was fighting every 2 weeks.
And he was big guys, and he was, you know, they were slightly different.
Yeah.
Slightly different. Josh needs to, you know, get the guy out as soon as possible. He doesn't get paid for overtime.
No.
And he will be putting in the rounds in the gym, but that's with gloves that are twice the size and head guards.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, his body might have a collapse like Bruno's did against Bone Crusher. His body might very well just collapse on him after 8 rounds in a fight where the guy's persistent.
Yeah.
We don't know.
No, and it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about getting back in the ring. He's back in the ring pretty soon afterwards.
Yeah,
about a month.
Which I think
back,
it's important.
And that Dennis Baktov, who is lined up to fight, again, it's probably another step up the ladder from Arić, because he beat Arić, didn't he? And he went 5 with Manuel Char. I think he went the distance with Danny Williams in 2012. So
absolutely.
He's got, you can see the progression, and it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Both these fights he's got lined up, Arić and Baktov, are brilliant pieces of matchmaking.
Yeah,
I've been critical in the past of the way some of our prospects are matched, and it's particularly critical in the past of what we're fed by various British promoters and told is good when it's absolute garbage. these two fights are brilliant fights. Mm. Inspired matchmaking.
The round group betting then for this fight, Anthony Joshua to win in rounds 1-4 is 2-9. Yeah, that's what he's done so far in his career. Anthony Joshua to win in rounds one and two, 4-7. When you start getting a bit further up, Anthony Joshua to win in rounds 5-8 is 11-2. It's a big price, that, for
not bad.
For three. I mean, like you say, if he gets to five, you know, he probably still will finish him, but it, you know, it'll take him a little bit of time. Anthony Joshua to win in rounds 7 or 8 is 16-1, and Anthony Joshua on points is 8-1.
That and the Scott Quigg in 5-8 is a couple of quid there.
Yeah,
collar points. Quigg 5-8. Nick a few quid.
Yeah, the big fight of the weekend on Box Nation is the fight between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Marcus Maidana. Great fight in the MGM Grand in Vegas for the WBC and WBA super welterweight title. Obviously, Mayweather had never been beaten. 46 wins, 26 by stoppage. He's 1-8. Marcus Maidana, 35 wins, 31 by stoppage. He's lost 4 times himself, of course. We talked a bit about this last week on the podcast, Buncey. Mayweather never looked really worried, but Maidana gave him quite a lot to think about. I think that's probably the best way of putting it, isn't it? I mean, in the end, it was a majority decision after the 12 rounds. So Maidana's got the rematch. Does he do any better, or has Mayweather learned any mistakes that he did make, or anything that caught him unawares in the first fight? Has Mayweather adjusted, you know, in a kind of robotic style and fine-tuned his performance against Maidana? Does it get any better for Mayweather, I guess, is what
I'm
asking.
They both have to improve. Mm-hmm. Maidana needs to improve. He needs to do what he did in 4 rounds for 12 rounds. If he does that, he's going to upset everybody on Saturday night. And believe me, he can do it. He has the style to do it. But he only put that into practice in 3 or 4 of the 12 rounds last time. He's got that ability to get close. He's got that ability to walk through what Mayweather's doing. He's got the ability not to watch Mayweather's hands or feet or eyes and just to go for Mayweather's body and head and shoulders. He's got a bit of that Roberto Duran, which is what Duran did, and I talked about this before.
Yeah.
In fact, we talked about this in the preview to the first fight back in May. You know, he's got to do what Duran did in the first fight with Sugar Ray Leonard. Of course, the danger is that Mayweather in this fight may very well do what Sugar Ray Leonard did in a rematch with Duran and be absolutely dazzling, quite brilliant, and basically break Maidana's heart, just like Leonard broke Duran's heart. I can't see either of them getting a stoppage. It's not what they do. Mayweather's only had one stoppage, and that was from a sucker punch since 2007. Long time ago, that, isn't it? Maidana just needs to, well, in the words of Barry Jones, who works with me on various other shows, he's just got to run at him, and then keep running at him, and then keep running at him, and just hit anything you can, and do that for 12 rounds. You know, he's a professional athlete. He's being paid millions. He's been in training camp for 3 months. You know exactly what to expect. There's no secrets. It's not like suddenly getting in with Vitaly or Vladimir Klitschko and finding out, guess what, they're 6'6", I can't get to them. No, you know exactly what it is. You know about Floyd's speed. You know about Floyd's evasiveness, his elbows, his use of the shoulder, the forearm, all of the illegal stuff he does. So go back, meet fire with fire. Mayweather's a dirty fighter in this fight, trust me. Mayweather's a dirty fighter in most of his fights.
Yeah.
He likes to say it's old school. Well, that's beautiful, you know, and his dad and his uncle. So that's what the old fighters did. That's great. But it's still dirty. It's still illegal what he does. Half of what Mayweather does is still illegal. The fact that guys did it in the 50s and 60s and 70s is irrelevant. It was illegal then. It's illegal now.
Yeah.
And that's what Maidana needs to give him a bit of that back. Give him a bit of Duran treatment and keep putting him under fire. Mayweather, who suddenly seemed to be spent a lot of time in the company of the controversial strength and conditioning coach Alex Ariza, he needs to work out exactly what he wants to do. Can he move for 12 rounds? Yeah, he probably can. Can he fiddle his way through 12 rounds and beat Maidana? Yes, he probably can. Can he fiddle his way through 12 rounds and beat Maidana clearer than last time? No. So he needs to have a little think.
Mm.
You know, he might fancy standing in close, tucking up and throwing fewer shots, but putting a bit more into them. He might fancy he can hurt Maidana. You know, guy, anyone can be hurt, and Floyd knows how to hurt a guy. Once he does hurt a guy, he keeps him hurt. What he hasn't done in so many of his fights in the last 6 or 7 years is go out to hurt someone. Floyd fights to win, not to look good and not to hurt the guy, not to stop the guy. That's a bonus. He's talked about there'll be a knockout. I'm going for a knockout. And who knows, maybe he will. The problem for Floyd is if he just wins the same way, and maybe it's even a little bit closer. Okay, so the last fight wasn't close. Maidana won 3 or 4 rounds, clearly. Mm-hmm. And Floyd won 8 rounds, clearly. So it wasn't close last time. No. It was a hard fight, but it wasn't close. If Floyd just does the same thing, people will think, well, hold on a minute. The greats wouldn't have done that. The greats wouldn't have just repeated it in the rematch. You know, that will start to raise a few question marks. Yeah. We go into his final year, his last two fights, 2015, and the simple question is, who does he fight now?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So he needs a really good win. So we're not saying, who does he fight now? We're just saying, when's he back in the ring? That's why he needs to jump all over him.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at his record as well. He mentioned about the stoppages. Two stoppages in the last 11. The rest have all gone the distance. They were against Ricky Hatton, of course, and Victor Ortiz, which, you know, that was a strange ending to that fight, wasn't it? It was a sucker punch, yeah. So, yeah, gone the distance on each of the other occasions. And one thing, you know, likening Maidana to Duran, there'll be no mass from Maidana, you wouldn't imagine, would you?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah. Mind you wouldn't have thought that from Duran either, to be fair. It was a bit of a shock. So where would you go then? You'd be looking at, I mean, the points is really short. Mayweather by decision is 4 to 11, so 11 to 4 on. Mayweather by a stoppage is 7 to 2. Maidana by stoppage is 15 to 2, and Maidana by decision is 12 to 1. I mean, that would be a huge shock in the world of boxing. We've grouped round betting, we've got fight specials.
Well, I mean, you know, what I'm thinking is it's points, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking Mayweather on points, but that's 12 to 1, because I think Maidana will get it. If he wins, he'll get it.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, don't think this is like fighting in Germany 20 years ago or Italy 30 years ago. No, if Maidana wins, he'll get the decision.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
And the conspiracy theorists will say, well, that's because it makes a third fight even bigger. And the conspiracy theorists would be absolutely right.
Yeah, the draw 25 to 1 as well, I suppose.
Listen, I fancy Floyd on points. And I just see not a crisis. How can there be a crisis in the career of a man who's going to be walking away with $72 million probably when it's all over?
Yeah.
But not a crisis, but certainly a where do I go now, where does he go now moment afterwards.
Yeah. Buncey, thanks very much for your time today. We've done plenty there. You can check out the Box Nation website, actually. They've got a full list of all the times. This is great. You know, any boxing fan, you get, I think you must have put this on the website because you must get sick of people asking you what time the fight's on Twitter. At 4 a.m. it's listed as being down for, but there's three or four undercard fights from 1 a.m. so if you check out the Box Nation website, they put a full kind of programme of events on there. Buncey, thanks for your time. We'll speak to you next week for George Groves.
You're willing to. Oh, Georgie, fantastic. I'll speak to you in a week, Lee.
Cheers, Lee.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.